Today our reading is the Gospel of Matthew. It's chapter 8, just the first four verses. Listen now and hear the word of God. When Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and there was a leper who came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus then said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." I wonder if you would bow your heads forward to prayer with me. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight, and you, O Lord, would bless the preaching of the word and the moment when it is heard and seen, that those who gather and those who take it in might receive a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've had some conversations with florist members over the past few days, and I want to talk to you today about the importance of kindness. If you follow Jesus, you enter into a life which is most notable by a word, and the word's love. When we follow Jesus, we love in such a way that every day we demonstrate to other people the courtesies of decency and of kindness. Some of you have shared with me that you feel disoriented right now. And you're trying to figure out, why do I feel just not myself? Why do I just feel at odds with many things? And I'm sure there are many reasons for that. But part of the reason is we're at a time in our country when, if you're looking for examples of unkindness, you just don't have to look that far. And that's how important decency and kindness are. When they're lacking, or when they are no longer dependable, it feels disorienting to all of us. It really doesn't bother me when I interact with people or I hear a person somewhere who is unkind when they're not a person who has faith in God. Because my experience is kindness is a personal value and it is a series of decisions that you really have to consciously make. In other words, I don't think that kindness is necessarily a preset in the human experience. What is troubling to me is when we call ourselves Christians, but we do things that are consistently unpleasant, hostile, or even cruel. Many of us from time to time will be upset about something or will say something that's unkind. That happens, and the Bible speaks to that. I'm talking about patterns of unkindness or unpleasantness. Because to be kind is a basic expression of our faith in Christ. If you follow Jesus and if you're attempting to live under his lordship, it's just assumed that you are working to be a kind, decent, and loving human being to the people around you. That's really at the heart of what it is to be a Christian, is to follow in the way of Jesus so that the love that he commanded us, remember, love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself, becomes normative in the way that you and I treat other people. When we know Jesus, his love enters our nature and it becomes reflected in us. And frankly, for many of us, this is what's been so powerful about following Jesus. We find sometimes that our words and our actions are simply more kind. Our social media posts will be more thoughtful about whatever we're saying. We will become people that will be more thoughtful in general and careful about how we treat others. We'll listen. We'll not just listen, but we will then act on what we hear so that other people know that they've been heard. Because of Jesus, our capacity to hold empathy and compassion and our ability, when someone else is really being hot-headed, our ability to not throw fuel on their fire or just like encourage them to get more and more spun up, our ability to be compassionate and kindness grows, and we have the ability to be people of peace even when others aren't. That's normal to following Jesus. All this and more is what I mean by the word kindness. Never has kindness been so important in my life than right now, because it's less in the norm. It's less in the sort of the social fabric that I get up and read about in the news, or I sometimes even experience when I'm out in the community. We lack national leadership on kindness broadly. Thoughtfulness about being a kind person, being a decent person, a person of decency, today has a little bit of ring, like maybe I'm talking about a Model T Ford. And the question I bring to you today is, how are you doing with that? And I've been bringing it to myself this week too. I just had a moment this week when I went to get something and the something wasn't prepared. And I tell you, I had to consciously say to myself, you are going to be kind and decent. You're going to be patient. And you're not going to make the world about yourself. And I was amazed how just running that through my brain transformed the moment. But I was also struck by how quickly I wanted to go from here to here just because of my little disappointment that ended up costing me a sum total of 15 minutes. Many today who loudly proclaim themselves as Christians or lead institutions that are supposedly based on the Christian faith seem to almost revel in audacious public statements in the news or on social media that are sometimes simply unkind from anyone's point of view. Whether you agree with their view or not, you can look at it and say, wow, I'm not sure you should have said it that way. And friends, as your pastor, here's just something I want to say in the vein that the Apostle Paul said it years ago. Let it not be so among us. As your pastor, I want to be clear that if you feel worn out and overly stressed or uncertain about your life or even your faith in Christ, maybe you're even starting to question, maybe I don't even want to be a Christian. You know, maybe this doesn't work. Maybe it doesn't really change anything. I want to say to you as a pastor that one reason that's happening is your basic assumptions about decency and kindness that you expect of yourself are a little bit harder right now because you're under a lot of stress. And they're also simply not as present in the culture around us as they once were. And sadly, it's almost become in keeping with something in the national fabric to think that that's a good thing, to think that the energy around unkindness is something that we should revel in or enjoy, when the scripture clearly says that for God's people, that's the enemy of the heart of one who wants to be fully committed to Christ. Jesus, and thank God for Jesus, Jesus recenters us in love. It's one of the reasons I asked you last week to begin reading your Bible regularly, and some of you have told me that you're doing that. And I want to really encourage you in that practice to go online. I told you about the YouVersion Bible app that's on you can get on your phone. Yeah, I talked about Bible Gateway. And some of you have contacted me and said, I've found this great reading plan, and I'm reading the Bible. And I'm just so grateful to hear that. I want to encourage you to keep doing that, because when you do that, you open yourself to the recentering work that Jesus has. I think sometimes it was hard for Jesus to be kind. I mean, take the scripture today. He's coming off the Sermon on the Mount. He's been with lots and lots of people, big crowd. He's been teaching for probably a few days. He's been managing a lot of people coming and going, teaching, miracles, just all these things. And even as he leaves, that crowd is following him. They're walking down after him, and just when you think he's going to break away and get some time to himself, a man came and he knelt right before Jesus. And this man had a condition, a skin condition, that in those days was called leprosy. It's probably not the same leprosy that we think of today. But this man with leprosy knelt before him and said, "Jesus, here I am." And he asked him to heal him. And just, it's that day that you have. You have days like this where you're dealing with the many and there's all this stuff going on and you're tired from dealing with all this and you're thinking, and now I'm going to get a break. And then somebody appears. Then something happens. And it's really in that moment that you figure out what you're committed to. And what I love about the recentering work of Jesus is I've read the chapter before this. I know all the pressure he's under. And when this man appears, Jesus teaches us something about kindness. And it's this. Jesus cared about the one while dealing with the many. And that's exactly like your life. In your life, you're dealing with the many all the time. In your life, you're multitasking. You may have children. You may have school. You may have work. You do have relationships. You're under pressure of responsibility, and you're under pressure to be safe in a global pandemic that you've never been through before. That's the many. All that stuff is the many. And if you want to be kind, you have to find moments where you are truly present to the one person, the one spouse, the one child, the one coworker, the one neighbor, the one sales clerk, the one delivery driver at your door, because moments of potential for kindness, they just come just like this, like the man who knelt in front of Jesus. There it is. No warning, no preparation. And kindness is the ability to see and hear and be so in that moment that you respond in love to that one person in that one moment. You know, it's amazing the difference that an act of kindness makes. Pastor Craig Rochelle talks about a time when he was a newer believer, and he went sort of from newer believer to pastor, I think, in a pretty rapid time. But he was in a 7-Eleven. He said after he was a new believer, he got little pins that he put on his shirt pocket right here. And this pin was in the shape of a cross. And he said they were really inexpensive, and he would buy them a dozen at a time because it was an inexpensive way to witness to people. Because what would happen is people would notice his pin with a cross, and they might comment on it. And he said whenever they did, he would give it to them. So that day in the 7-Eleven, the woman behind the counter, the clerk, said, "Oh, I see you've got a cross." And he said, "Oh, yeah." And he started to take it off because he had done it so many times. It was like a reflex. And he started to give it to her. And he said, "Here, why don't you take it? Why don't you enjoy this? I would love for you to have this." And she didn't want to. And she kept saying, no, I really can't. I really can't. And for whatever reason, she just didn't feel like she could do that. But finally, she relented. And Craig Rochelle handed her the pin. And she took it. And he left the 7-Eleven. He had a little bit longer conversation, but he left. And that was it. He said years later, he was in the church they served. And after the service was over, a woman walked up to him and said to him, "You probably don't remember me." And he said, "I'm afraid I don't." And she said, "I was once a clerk in a 7-Eleven. And she said, "I was in one of the worst times of my life." And she said, "Everything was going bad in my life. And you came and I noticed your cross and you took it off your shirt and you said, 'Here, take it, keep it.'" And she said, "I didn't want it because I really didn't feel like I was someone that God could love. But you just kept generously saying, 'Take it.' And eventually I did." And she said, "God used that cross to remind me that I was still loved, that God was still with me." And she said, "I've kept it." And she reached into her purse, he said, and she pulled it out and held it up and said, "And here it is. And I really appreciate it." Now, that day in that 7-Eleven, Craig Rochelle was busy with the many of his life, busy with running errands and getting here and going there. But he looked at the face of the one. And that's the power of what Jesus does. He's busy. He's got all this going on, just like you. But kindness is the decision we make in that one moment. You know, years ago, there was a scientist, and his name was Edward Lorenz. And in 1961, he was at MIT, he was a meteorologist, And he ran some routine experiments, and he changed a small factor at the very beginning of the experiment just to see what would happen. And he produced what people in chaos theory today call the butterfly effect. That's what they called it. In fact, the name of his paper that he presented in 1972 was called Predictability: Does the Flap of a Butterfly's Wings in Brazil Set Off a Tornado in Texas? Now, you've probably heard of this. I mean, many of us have heard of the butterfly effect. The idea, according to Lorenz's theory, is the butterfly wing flapping doesn't actually cause a tornado. However, he said, it can start a chain reaction of events that potentially could change worldwide weather patterns. In other words, we're all connected in some mysterious way. Even tiny, insignificant movements affect greater things down the line. And I would argue that that's the power of kindness. The Bible often suggests a similar butterfly effect when you read the scripture. Jesus talks about it. The Apostle Paul talks about it. And that's why they tell us being decent and kind matter. It affects the psyche of the humans around you. It affects your society. It affects your world. Those decisions that you and I make every day, they really matter. And we can complain that other people aren't being kind and isn't it terrible, but that's really not ours to control, is it? We down here have to manage our own business, don't we? And kindness has this powerful effect. Jesus talked about how when we make the meal, when we visit the sick, when we help a guest, when we pray for a friend, when we do something to bless a returning citizen who's been incarcerated but is now coming back into our society, Jesus said in Matthew 25, when you do these things to those people, you do it unto me. And I just think it's powerful how things that we often think are insignificant, Jesus says, really matter. Your kindness, your decency that you show to other people and your family and everybody else, it really matters. And when we're not kind, when we're not decent, when we revel in the energy and the adrenaline of being mean or harsh or cruel and typing whatever we want on social media and we just get that high, I mean, come on, cruelty and anger has a high to it, doesn't it? It really does. And when we are willing to do things to get that high, that also has an effect. It affects our friends, it affects our family, it affects our community. That's a butterfly effect as well. And you know, Hosea, the prophet, he said, when you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And I just want you to think about that today, the decision that you and I have to make with the one that will appear probably in the next few days in your life, if not today. Jesus shows us something else. Decency and kindness are a choice, as I said. And they're a norm in society only if we choose to make them such. We choose what we want our society to be. Jesus chose in the moment where the man with leprosy came, Jesus chose to care. That's what he did. And I love the scripture. The man says, I'm reading, the man says, Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean. And Jesus, in verse 3, he stretched out his hand, touched the man, saying, I do choose. Be made clean. Lord, if you choose, Jesus, I do choose. What would happen if you and I would choose every day, every post, every interaction, every purchase, every moment with a child, every moment with our spouse, to be kind? And the question I've really got is, are you and I man enough, woman enough, human enough to do it? Because I think in our society right now, it seems like strength is somehow been equated with bad behavior. It is not that way with Jesus' people. It's just not what he taught. It's not what he lived. Jesus believed that strength was found when you and I treated people well. And you know, it's not that hard to be kind. Out in Utah, there was a man who had a motion detector on his security camera looking at his driveway, and he would get an alert from his motion sensor, and it told him someone was in the driveway, and he kept noticing it went off at about the same time every evening, and he decided to do something about it, because when he looked, it was a little kid in his driveway who was riding a bike, and I want you to watch this video, and I want you to see what the man chose to do. What a simple thing. What a simple thing to show love and kindness with a piece of chalk. And suddenly the child's day has changed, and then suddenly other children are having fun, and suddenly the families of the neighborhood enjoy it when they go past. And every time it rains, the guy gets out with his chalk and he does it again. And because he's done this, he himself has a joy. There's the butterfly effect that I think Jesus speaks of in the scripture. You and I could be those people doing those things every day. And if we want people to know Jesus like we do, it'll not be because you and I yelled the loudest on social media. It'll be because we showed the most love, the most kindness, that people will look at us and say, wow, what a decent human being. I'm so blessed that I got to know that person. That's a witness. Tim Witten is an author in Australia. He has written a number of books. He's received a number of awards. He was on ABC News a long time ago in an interview where I took this material from. And the person doing the interview said, when you were about 5 years old, a stranger came to your front door and knocked, and you said it had a profound impact on your life. Would you tell us about that? And Tim Witten was sitting there, and he'd obviously told the story many times. And he said, you know, my father was a policeman, and he was in a terrible car accident in the mid-60s. He said, I was about 5 years old. He was knocked off his bike by a drunk driver. And he said he was severely wounded when this happened. They took him to the hospital. He stayed there for a long time. When they came and brought him home, he really was a broken man. He couldn't move without assistance. He was in pain all the time. I was five. I didn't know what to do to help. My mom was struggling because he was a really large man. And so even giving him help going to the bathroom or getting a bath every day, he said, it was just really, really hard for us. And he said, I couldn't help. But he said the word got out. He said people were sort of talking about what had happened to my dad. And he said one day there came a knock. And he said my mom opened the door And when she opened a door, there was this big guy on the other side, and that man looked at her and said, "You don't know me. My name's Lynn. But I heard that your hubby's a bit broken up. And I'm just wondering if there's anything I can do." And he came in and he met my mom and he met my dad, he talked to them, and he volunteered to come by every single day to help. And he was just a guy who said, "I am a part of the church down the street, and that's why I came, because I heard your family was in need of a little help." And he said, every day this man came and he helped my dad. And I'm going to read to you what he said. He said, he just showed up. He would carry my dad from bed and put him in the bath. And he used to bathe my father, which in the suburbs in Australia in the 1960s was simply not something you saw every day. And according to Witten, this daily act of kindness from a single Christian had a powerful effect. And I'm quoting. He said, "It really touched me that watching a grown man bother for no reason to show up and wash a sick man, my father, that really affected me. This strangely sacrificial act," he said, "was the doorway to the Christian faith that one day his entire family walked through when his dad was able to walk again." Friends, stop trying to control others by complaining about things and observing the problem. It doesn't change. And you and I can't control even members of our family, much less people that live next door or people we see in the community or people we see in other places. Like, give up on that. We can't control it. Start noticing what's right in front of you. The child, the spouse, the friend, the neighbor. Start noticing what's right in front of you. Start noticing people in this community who you don't even know who could benefit from your kindness to them. Start taking your witness to Christ seriously. And your witness to Christ is taken seriously when you and I begin to show love and show kindness and show decency. Share the light and love of Christ that is in your life. And friends, you're really going to have to nurture it right now. You don't get to walk into a sanctuary and see everybody right now. That's taken some energy out. You may not have strong spiritual disciplines before now. Build them. You've got to build them, because when you get Jesus in front of you and you get the scripture and what it teaches in front of you, it reorients your life and it tells you, here's what you need to do. I had a teacher this week told me that on a day when she was feeling, not her word, but the theme, when she was feeling fearful, magically the daily reading that came to her was about courage. I think God does that for us. Friends, share that light and love of Christ in your words and your actions. Be kind. Because at the end of the day, they will know we are Christians by our love. They will know we are Christians by love. Take a moment to think about that.